Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We are studying on Sunday nights the Ten Commandments. And we are getting ready to look at a brand new section in the Ten Commandments. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Let's pray. Father God, help us to understand this commandment. Help us, Lord, to realize how it applies to our lives today, that we may honor you by honoring our parents. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 10 years can be a real rough time for kids, but also for parents. I don't know if you know it, Mark Twain gave advice to parents, and here's what he had to say. When your child turns 13, put him in a barrel, nail down the lid, and feed him through the knot hole. When he turns 16, plug the hole. I often say if you have girls, when they're 13, lock them in the room and don't let them out until they're 20. And then one day, Amy Walsh came over our house with her kids, and Elizabeth, her daughter, said to Connie, "When are you going to let Amy out of her room?" And she said, "What, honey? When are you going to let Amy out of her room? Amy's not in her room. She's at her home." "No, Pastor says she's locked in her room." So I'm going to have to be really careful what I say anymore. So when I say that, I really don't, well, maybe I mean it, but Amy is really not locked in her room. You know, isn't there a lot of books about parenting? You know, a ton of books that tell parents how to raise their kids, but there's maybe no books that tell children how to relate to their parents, especially not in Christian circles. If you notice here, in commandment number one, back in verse 4, God talks about our relationship to our Heavenly Father. Now we head to a brand new section in Ten Commandments, the fifth of the ten. And notice as it relates to our relationship to one another, we are back talking about our fathers and now also our mothers. Dennis Rainey, calls this commandment the forgotten commandment. He said, instead of honoring our parents, we've better taken the part of the past three decades to bash, blame, and attack our parents for our faults and our failures. Our parents have become a toxic waste site to which we dump the blame of our dysfunction. And isn't that true? We blame mom and dad for everything in the world. In fact, I often joke about every problem that I have is my mother's fault. And you know what? There really is some truth to that. I've had back surgery. Mom, have you had back surgery? You have, haven't you? I've had shoulder surgery. Have you had shoulder surgery? Not yet, but you have a bad shoulder. I've had my nose operated on. Well, you've had your nose done too. You know, so I can go all the way through. I really can blame her. But don't we do that in reality? This world loves to blame their parents. And we've, just like all the commandments, just like all of life, we always get things backwards. In our sinful living, we always take what God says and we turn it all the way around. God tells us to honor our parents and we bash our parents. Well, what does this command mean? Number one tonight, I want us to understand the command. If we're going to live out this command, and we need to understand what it says. So now it says, honor your father and mother. The word honor literally means to be heavy. And it does not mean that your father and mother are fat, although that could be true. The word honor means to respect. means to respect or to value our parents. We honor and respect our parents. And I want you to notice also here, it does not say honor them if they are honorable. It doesn't say honor them if they deserve it. It doesn't say honor them if they treated you right. Command is pretty simple. Honor your parents. Whether it's your father or your mother, we are to value them. We are to respect them. Now, as I dug into this commandment, I believe this commandment is basically saying that there are three things we need to do in relationship to our parents if we are going to honor them. Number one, we honor them by respecting them. We honor our parents by respecting them. Parents are the first authority that we encounter in life. If we don't respect the authority of our parents, you know, we're not going to respect most authorities in life. In fact, find that son, find that daughter that does not honor their parents, and then see how they react to school teachers. Then see how they react to police officers. Then see how they act to other authorities in their life. You'll find if they don't respect their parents, there's a tendency in their life not to respect other authorities in their life. You know, I hate that phrase, the old man or the old lady, when people talk about their parents. I just don't think that's a way to honor and respect our parents when we talk about them in that way. Some of you have grown up in homes with parents who are hard to honor. They have not lived the life that a parent ought to live. But if you can't honor your parent for their person, you know, if you look at their character, you look at their lifestyle, and you say, I can't honor that, then you still have the responsibility to honor their position as your parent. So it doesn't matter if they were a good person or a bad person, we still, in this command, the command tells us we need to honor them. You can't walk down the street and say, well, my parents were rotten, I don't need to honor them. We should honor our parents, whether they deserve honor or not. In fact, most children really don't understand all that their parents did for them. In fact, most of us don't realize it until we have our own kids. And then some even then don't realize it. Do you know in the Old Testament, if you broke this commandment, the punishment was death? Think about that. If we had that if we still live by that in our laws today, every time a child dishonored their parents, the punishment for that was to kill them. Scott said that I was just being out of order today. I was talking about guns and stabbing my wife and doing all kinds of things. But could you imagine if you found a child who wasn't honored their parents and we took him out behind the house, and we didn't spank him. We didn't give him a talking to. We didn't stick him in the corner. We took him out and we killed him. In fact, look with me. Exodus chapter 21. Go to the next chapter in verse 15. Verse 15. Anyone who attacks his father and mother must be put to death. Verse 17. Anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. So the punishment in the Old Testament was death. Proverbs 20:20 says, if a man curses father or mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9, if anyone curses father or mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood will be on his own head. In fact, when you compare this with our relationship with God, the penalty for a blasphemy against God is the same penalty that God gives for dishonoring our parents. I've often said, and studies show, that most children, when they think of God, in fact, you have them sit down and say, tell me who you think God is, write about God. Most children will write what they think of their father. In fact, especially true in girls. Whatever they think of their father, that's what they think God is like. I found something interesting as I studied this passage this week. There are two passages in the Bible. Well, there are more, but there are at least two that I found where God gives us lists of people, let me use the word, that are degenerate. I mean, if you were to write a list of the worst people that there are, and you would make that list, you find these people in that list. Let me show you. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. I didn't pick up on this before until this week as I looked at this passage once again, as I looked at this commandment. Romans chapter 1. In verse 21, it says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity. For the degrading of their bodies with one another, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. They committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves a due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to depraved minds to do what ought not to be done. They became filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless." In other words, God looks at people who had rejected him and he gives them over to the sin, and we get the list of the most evil of people, and stuck right in the middle of it, and they're disobedient to their parents. So disobedience to your parents, to not honor your parents, is no small thing. It's a big thing. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul is writing to Timothy and he's saying, look, in the last days, you need to realize how people are going to be. So he begins to characterize what people would be in the last days. And I want you to know, according to the Bible, we are living in the last days. So this would characterize people in our days. Notice, beginning in verse 1. "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of God, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them." So again, stuck right in the middle of this list, disobedience to parents. Wow. Stephen J. Cole wrote this. "I reject the culturally accepted idea brought to us by those wonderful folks in developmental psychology that a period of rebellion and defiance is the norm for teenagers. It has become a self-fulfilling prophecy, even in Christian homes, where parents largely shrug their shoulders at their kids' rebellion and excuse it with, well, it's just a phase they have to go through. Nonsense. Christian teenagers can and must honor, obey, and respect their parents out of submission to the Lord. So if you have children and they are, you know, not honoring you, they are mocking you, they are making fun of you, they are not obeying you, don't just shrug your shoulders and say, well, you know, all kids go through that phase. Nonsense. God tells us in the Ten Commandments, the fifth one, where he first hits our relation to one another, he says, look, honor your parents. And if you don't honor your parents, you're breaking God's command. And you're really among the list of the most degenerate of people. And in the Old Testament, it was punishable by death. Let me give you a second thing I think this idea of honoring means. It's this. We honor our parents by obeying them. We honor our parents by obeying them. And let me give you my definition of obedience. And I've been given this definition for years, but this is kind of what Connie and I settled on before our children were born. This is obedience. And if your children don't do this, they have not obeyed. Obedience is doing what we are told, when we are told, with the right heart attitude. Obedience is doing what we are told, when we are told, with the right heart attitude. So if my daughter, for example, doesn't do what we told her to do when she was growing up, then she has not honored us. If she doesn't do it when we told her, and when we tell her, when our kids were growing up, we expected our kids to listen the first time. I never expected my kids to listen after I told them 5, 10, or 20 times. I expected my kids to listen the very first time. You say, well, kids don't do that. Yes, they will, if you train them right. But if you tell your children to do something and they don't listen to you and you do it, say it again, they don't listen, you say it again, they don't listen, and finally you get mad and you scream and you go nuts, and then they finally listen, I want you to know the ones being trained aren't them, it's you. You're telling them that they really don't have to listen to you until you tell them a whole bunch of times. That's the wrong way to raise kids. Now, not only must they do what they are told when they are told it, but they need to do it with the right heart attitude or they haven't obeyed. If I tell my kids, take all the garbage, and they take it out and they do it at the right time, but they kind of say, you know, and they're grumbling under their breath, and I see them outside just kind of throwing the cans, then they haven't done what I've told them to do with the right heart attitude, and they have not obeyed. Obedience is doing what I've been told, when I've been told it, and doing it with the right heart attitude. If your kids aren't doing that, they're not obeying you, and they are not honoring you. As long as we live in the home of our parents, we need to obey our parents. And let's be very careful. Don't ever say to your kids, as long as you live in my home, you're going to do what I told you to do. You know what you're telling your kids? You're telling your kids, the second you get out of my house, everything I have told you doesn't really matter. Don't tell your children that. But marriage does change things. When we get married, we leave our father and mother, and we no longer need to obey our parents in that sense because we now have a new relationship with our spouse. The only time we are allowed in God's word to tell our parents that we're not going to obey them is when our parents tell us to go against God. According to Acts 4 and Acts 5, when someone authority over us tells us we need to do something, what they're telling us to do goes against God's word, then we have every right to turn to that authority and say, I must obey God first, and I'm not going to do what you've told me to do. I'll give you a great example. Phone rings, and you say to your kids, whoever it is, tell them I'm not home. You know what? You've just told your kids to disobey God, and they have every right to say, Mom and Dad, I can't do that. You're here. Or whoever it is, tell them I'm sick. If you're not sick, you've just lied to your kids. Or you're getting your kids to lie to whoever's on the phone. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Proverbs 15:5, a fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. Proverbs 30, verse 17, the eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. So think about that. Every time your children don't obey you, tell them, I'm going to stick you out in the valley, and the ravens are going to pluck out your eyes. I love that. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in everything. Why? For this pleases the Lord. So when we honor our parents, we do it by respecting them, we do it by obeying them, and let me give you a third one, we do it by caring for them. We do it by caring for them. Matthew 15, Jesus was dealing with, well, you know what, we have time, let's go there. Turn your Bible to Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 1. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses father and mother must be put to death. So he's repeating the same commandment. But you say, if a man says to his father and mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. So the religious leaders had figured out a way in which they could dishonor their parents. They had figured a way in which they could put a religious tone to saying to mom and dad, you know what? I can't help you. And they did it through their tradition. Jesus said to them, look, you can't do that. You're a bunch of hypocrites. We are living today in the sandwich generation, right? Our parents are living longer, we're living longer, and we're having children, and we're finding ourselves in a society where not only do we take care of our children, but often we have to help take care of mom and dad. Now, mom and dad hate that. Mom and dad have lived independent lives, and they're older, and they do not want their children taking care of them. Right, Mom? And when they come to you as their children and say, I don't want you doing that, you know what they're doing? They are causing you to disobey God. Right, Mom? Turn with me to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Verse 26. Verse 26. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. See, here's Jesus dying on the cross. And with his dying last few breaths, he makes sure that his mother is taken care of. Why? Because if we're going to honor our parents, we need to care for our parents if we can do that. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 3. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, These should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. So clearly, throughout Scripture, God is saying if we are going to honor our parents, there may be times in our life where we need to care for our parents. And in this way, we honor them. As I said, parents sometimes have a hard time with this, but we need to respect our relationship with our children if you are a parent in that situation and allow your children to be obedient to God by honoring their parent. There are times, as I said, when the table is turned and we have to take care of our parents, when we need to watch over them. And when we do this, we are honoring them. Now, some kids just never grow up. I mean, some kids, they're 15, 60 years old, and they're still wanting mom and dad to wait on them. You know, they're still growing, and they're still living at home. They don't know that they need to go get a job, and they need to go live on their own. They don't understand the cost of bills, and the cost of electric, and the cost of gas, and the cost of food, and they just want to live with mom and dad the rest of their entire life. And when we do that, all we're doing is living off our parents instead of caring for our parents. And sometimes kids, when they look at their parents and they see their parents in a place where they have need, instead of helping their parents, what they're doing, they go to their parents and say, well, if you give me money, then I'll help you. Pay me and I'll take care of you. Or I'll help you, but boy, I better be on that list of the inheritance and I better be number one. My mother-in-law is in the process right now of selling her house. As many of you know, my father-in-law had a stroke a little over a year ago, and they can no longer take care of the home, so they're selling it, and they're trying to get all that stuff figured out and, you know, get rid of some things and give them to the kids and all. And basically, we've told my mother-in-law, look, there's only one way we'll take anything from you, and is that if we pay you for it. And in reality, we don't want anything. Don't worry about putting us in the inheritance. Don't worry about giving us anything. We want to help you. In fact, we're going up this coming weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, to help my mother-in-law to prepare for the move and prepare for some things that they got to be taken care of. And, you know, that's what we need to do when we think of our parents. We don't sit there with our hand out saying, come on, give, 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 give. We ought to be with our hands out saying, how can I help you? In that way, we honor our parents. See, we respect them. We obey them. We care for them. We come to this first commandment, and notice in these Ten Commandments, the fifth one, four dealt with God, the next six deal with our relationship with each other. Very first one deals with our relationship to our parents. In other words, when we think about our life, it all begins in the home. And that is why keeping marriages together is so important. That is why building a strong family unit is so important. Do you know, no society has ever withstood the breakup of the home? When you see homes starting to break it up and you see families no longer being strong, just begin to look around at that country and you see that country begin to dwindle. All you got to do is look at what's going on in America today. In fact, think about what's going on in America today and what really happened. We have us baby boomers. Now, I think, let me think. If you were born before 1966 or 67, you are considered a baby boomer. Many people, who's a baby boomer? Born before 66 or 67, all right. Most of us are baby boomers. There's other names for those of you who were born after that, a bunch of different names. But we're baby boomers. What did the baby boomers do? Many of the baby boomers got back in the 1960s, and what did they do to authority? They threw it out. They said, we're not going to let the government tell us what to do. We're not going to let our parents tell us what to do. We're going to live our own lives, and now what's happening? It's all coming back on top of those who said those things about authority. It all begins in the home. We need to respect, we need to honor or obey, we need to care for. Well, let's go back to this commandment, back to Exodus chapter 20. There's something very different about this fifth commandment than every other commandment in the Ten Commandments. In fact, there is no other commandment that is just like this commandment. Notice Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. And here's what's different. So that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. I want you to notice, secondly, about this commandment, we need to consider the promise. Of all 10 commandments, this is the only one that contains with it a promise. If you honor your father and mother, Israel, then the promise God was giving to them was that they would live a long time in the land. So why should we honor our parents? Well, it's commanded here. So number one, we're commanded by God. Notice number two, it will benefit society. If the Israelite family was a strong family unit, then God says you will live a long time in the land that you're going to. The only command with a promise attached to it. The commandment was critical to the survival of the nation. As the family goes, so goes the nation. As I said, no nation has ever withstood the destruction of the family. So honor your father and mother that you may live long in the land God is giving you. It's commanded by God and it will benefit society. Ephesians 6:1 says it's the right thing to do. To obey our parents is the right thing to do. In fact, Ephesians 6:2 actually adds to the command and says, not only will you live long in the land, but you will live longer. Now, it's not an ironclad guarantee that, you know, you're going to live to 150, but the general rule is true that if you grow up in a solid family life, the tendency is that you will live longer than those who do not. Certainly are exceptions to the rule, but certainly, as a generality, it is true. And it pleases God, it says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Listen to what one pastor wrote about this. I just said a little bit, but listen to how he said it. This problem, the problem of disrespecting our parents, strikes me as ironic at one level because those currently raising children are the baby boom generation. Baby boomers in the late 1960s rejected the rights of parents to be authoritative figures in their lives. They instead had no one over 30 or said no one over 30 could be trusted. They rejected the right of government to govern, renounced the traditions of the previous generations, and threw off the shackles of biblical thinking. These baby boomers are now parents. They are realizing with shock that the rebellion they chose in their youth is coming home to roost. They do not know how to parent their children, are frustrated because they long to do a good job, but don't know how to do it. And now the children of baby boomers are raising their children. And they look and often look at their own family and say, I have no example of how to raise my own kids. The one command that comes with a promise, the one command that says if you disobey it, the punishment was death. The command that we look so often around us that messes up our school system, that messes up our society, that is certainly seen in our families, is children who refuse to honor their parents, but instead blame them for everything. Boy, how we mess things up. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father God, help us to get it right. Help us to realize the importance of respecting and obeying and caring for our parents. Help us, Father, to get it right. Especially those of us who call on your name, those of us who claim to be Christian, help us to get it right. that we might please you and we might be obedient to you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.